All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Terry with you on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight in the world of sports. We've got an IU game here tipping off in just a little while because they don't actually kick off in basketball.
Not usually.
We have an IU football game that'll be kicking off this weekend as they host Rutgers, the second in their line of three that they've got to win to become bowl eligible, Tom Allen's football Hoosiers. And then the basketball Hoosiers of Archie Miller come home from Seton Hall tonight, and they have another game on Sunday as South Florida comes to town 6 o'clock on Sunday. So a lot to talk about tonight. And, Terry, we're right around the corner also from high school basketball season, so we can talk a little bit about that tonight. But before we get into IU, let's talk a little bit of high school basketball to start off because you're right around the corner, and you're right around the corner from talking to a couple coaches right off the bat.
Yeah, that's right, Dave. We're going to have an interesting season. All three high schools we cover have a lot of players back. Bloomington North, most notably, no Musa Jallo, but they have five, six other kids that know how to play. Edgewood's got a solid bunch back, and so does Bloomington South. We'll kick off next Tuesday. Mike Glasscott and I will be at Bloomington South for a little intra-county affair.
Yeah,
Edgewood takes on the Panthers. And Chalk Talk, we'll have J.B. Neal and J.R. Holmes in my maiden voyage on Chalk Talk, which I think you've trained me well enough. I think I can pull it off.
Well, let's talk about South and Edgewood just real briefly here because, you know, South is the team that gets looked at a lot here. They've got the consistent history, I suppose. North's got some excellent history also, and Edgewood certainly has some teams out there. But talk about South. Chance Coyle back, and what else do they have back this year?
Well, they'll have off the football team. Chris Bamba, who was like a sixth man last year, did a good job for them. Of course, Philip King is the point guard. Anthony Leal, freshman last year, 6'3 wing player. Probably has grown a couple inches. I don't know that yet. We haven't gotten any rosters from the coaches. Alex Franklin.
Are those like high top inches where all of a sudden you go from 6'5 to 6'8 because of the
that's
air?
That's a distinct possibility with South's Under Armour shoes. You never know. Alex Franklin off the bench. You know, South's got three starters back and then three more kids that have played some pretty extensive minutes. Noah Jagger, a young freshman last year, got to play a bit. So South's got some players back. Edgewood, the Howard kid, Chayton Howard, I really like him. 6'5", 6'6". He's a senior this year. Averaged about 12 a game last year. Joe Keto, the miniature point guard.
Yep.
The Bannister kid played a lot. Edgewood has only lost two seniors. Of course, Cooper
pretty
Bybee.
Good pretty good one.
And Jason Brown, Cooper Bybee at 23 a game. I'm interested when I talk with J.B. Neal. You don't replace that, obviously. Mm-mm. But the thing is, out of 12 varsity players, he's got 10 back.
Yeah, that's great.
So, I mean, that's good. He's got four kids that's been starters coming back. So Edgewood's going to be formidable. They were, you know, South was the Conference Indiana champs last year. Edgewood was the Western Indiana Conference champs last year. So, you've got those two right off the bat. In our second game, a dandy on the 25th, a Saturday evening. We don't do many Saturday evening games, but when the number one team in the state.
Yeah.
And Romeo Langford comes into town to Bloomington South.
Are they sold out yet?
No, they're not, and I have checked.
Nice.
They are not, but they are pre-selling tickets to the New Albany game.
I did see because we did the game in the South last Friday. They had mentioned during the broadcast or during the game there that they're expecting a sellout. So if you want tickets to that game, you want to see Romeo, who obviously IU and Archie are hard after right now, just like everybody else.
So John Callahan and I will be doing that game because Mike will be up in West Lafayette or on his way back from a Purdue victory, but
Stuck in traffic is where they'll be.
Us beating Purdue is what I'm getting at here. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so exciting season. Three good local teams and really looking forward to it. We'll try to hold up our end while Joe's on the mend and keep things moving strong for when he's back with us next year.
Yep, so that's just around the corner, Tuesday night. But just around the corner, even closer, in 20 minutes – is tip-off to IU at Seton Hall. And let's talk about the first couple games for IU and Archie Miller's group. He is 1-1 now on his IU career. Started with the loss at home to Indiana State. They were down 30 at points during that game. They lose by 21. They don't make it any closer than it was at halftime. They really, I mean, they gave up 90 points. They didn't shoot it particularly well themselves. They got out-rebounded. They turned it over 19 times. I can keep going if you want me to, but it's not the start that people wanted. Now, that doesn't mean everything's going to fall apart, but your analysis right now of the first couple games, because there's a lot of hoopla. I'm sure some of it's unfair for a super quick improvement over the things people didn't like over last year, but I didn't see improvement in general. I might have even seen the other direction just slightly, so I want to get your thoughts on what you saw in the first two Hoosier games.
Yeah, and I was at the Marion game and the U-Indy game personally. Mm-hmm. Didn't see a whole lot to get too excited about there in either game.
The defense was at least better in those. Now, it's different competition.
Yeah, and the thing I mentioned to the people I went to the game with was that you can see the defensive coverage and how they would – good defensive coaches like to talk about it being like five fingers of a hand mm-hmm. as they move around and one guy covers and another guy comes backwards to cover from the backside. The person farthest from the ball drifts into the lane but can see the ball and his man. I could see that very plainly, especially against U-Indy, as we maneuvered the ball around and – when I watch a basketball game, I am not just watching the ball myself.
Sure.
And I saw a lot of improvement there. I thought these guys, far from where they need to be, because even Marion hit some shots at the end of the shot clock, just like Indiana State pretty much did all night. But, yeah, I think the defense, it's all a work in progress. It's a new coach with a bunch of guys except for three freshmen that played a different system. But I like the defense. I like what I saw defensively. I see some things that will work, will work well. The longer they do them and used to working with each other and how each person's going to cover, that'll be fine. The thing that's distressing is the three-point coverage, you know, not getting out to cover a shot like that. I mean, but let's face it, Indiana – how many teams are going to come out and hit 17 out of 22 one point?
Here's the thing, though. I mean, there was a couple shots that were prayer-type shots.
And they went in.
But there were 17 made,
yeah.
And it wasn't 17 that were prayers.
No.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't 15 that were prayers. I mean, it was three or four that were prayers, maybe. And teams are going to make a couple of those.
Yeah.
So, there was a fundamental defensive breakdown. And it was more than just one defensive breakdown allowing 90 points. But in that game, you know, the defense was non-existent. I mean, okay, a couple shots were baloney, but no, way too many weren't.
No, you have, you know, you run into an Indiana State team that had a lot of guys back. You know, in Indiana kids that didn't get recruited by Indiana and mm-hmm. come in here to the Palace, a place that everybody wanted to play when they were in high school. As old as I am, the place was built when I was in high school, so I wanted to play there too.
Can we just say that Indiana State is far better than Indiana right this minute? They came in here and beat us by 21 points on our own home floor.
I mean, by the score, I guess you have to say that.
That may change by December 31st.
Yeah, it may change.
And talent-wise, it ought to.
Yeah.
But it's pretty obvious right now.
Yeah. They came out looking for blood, and they have some older guys and guys that just wanted to punch us in the mouth. And they did, repeatedly. And we didn't answer. And I think that distresses me, and I know it distresses Archie. Well, yeah, for him to come out and say, hey, you know, we're soft because we didn't come back – they didn't come back and fight.
Yeah.
When the local punk kids across the street that you know you should beat is beating up on you, and you don't say, "Hey, that's enough. We're you guys are done." That's depressing to
it
me,
is.
And I know it is to Archie. I heard him say it.
It is. It wasn't good enough, but we'll talk a little bit more about that. And heading into tonight, tip-off against Seton Hall is in about 15 minutes on the road on Fox Sports 1. If you've got it, dial it up. We'll talk to you about a little more IU basketball in just a couple minutes. David and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Programming note for you. We've got NFL football returning tomorrow night. 8 o'clock for pregame with Tennessee is at Pittsburgh tomorrow night. Friday night, we take the night off. High school football is over. High school basketball doesn't start until next Tuesday, so we've got a little time off. But we do come back with football all weekend. Saturday is Michigan at Wisconsin with an 11:30 a.m. pregame. And then Sunday, we're looking for early games, but the evening game is Philadelphia at Dallas, 7:30 for that. And Glass and I will be back on Monday. Atlanta is at Seattle for Monday night football on Monday night. And then again, Tuesday night. This is only a week away, folks. Tuesday night, Edgewood at South with Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock and tip-off at 7:30 for the start of our high school basketball season. Terry Stultz with me tonight. And we're talking IU basketball. They tip off at Seton Hall here in just a few minutes, down at the bottom of the hour on Fox Sports 1. Indiana State comes into town, walks out with a 21-point victory. It was up 30 points at one point in the second half, a couple different points. Howard comes in, scores 87. It's a 9-point victory at the end. They hit a couple threes late to make it a little closer, but it was not an emphatic win by the Hoosiers, no matter what you say about a couple shots, because it wasn't a 25-point game that got whittled to nine. It was a 13-point game that got whittled to nine at the end. Yeah, not great showing.
Yeah, we had it to 18 is the highest point total we had it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it didn't take them long to whittle that down, stay at 12, 13 for a while, and then even less. Yeah, they threw in some trash a couple of times, but that's not what we typically, us Hoosier fans, are used to seeing when we play a team like Howard, mm-hmm. especially after a loss. I would have been afraid to be Howard in past years,
yeah,
because that would have been a 35-point blowout.
Mm-hmm.
But, look, Archie Miller's a good coach. There's already people jumped off the deep end because that's the way our dumb fans act around here. They don't get it. They don't care. If you don't go undefeated and win a national championship every year, we're a failure. So
Archie Miller called his team after the first game soft. Can you become – I mean, I know what the opposite of soft is in a lot of things, but I'm not sure that's what you'd call your team. But how do you become not soft as a basketball team, and how long does something like that take?
Well, mainly, my thoughts are, what type of kid do you have? At a certain point, you get a little ticked off, and it's, you just get tired of getting sand kicked in your face, and you decide it's time to retaliate.
But when? If a couple of these kids have been soft for a couple of years now, are they going to just suddenly, is a new coach going to turn them not soft? Are they switch going to flip?
The other thing that'll make him decide if they want play or not, because if not, he's going to set them down.
We're being told that Justin Smith is getting the start. Now, Juwan Morgan may or may not play tonight, so that's not necessarily shocking. But Al Durham is getting a start at guard. We'll have to find out who that is. Devontae Green might be hurt, so it might just be an injury situation. We'll have to see.
I'm sure that's it. As we were talking a little bit before the show started, Juwan Morgan will try to play through pain mm-hmm. anytime. He's done it for the past 2 years, and if he's looking at how he rolled that the other day, it's got to be a high ankle sprain. We may not see him for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Devontae Green, if that is the reason Al Durham's playing tonight, just because of a bruised thigh, you know what? Suck it up, because that's crap. But that's what we need is for somehow. But I just have the feeling that Archie's just not going to play the game. He will set people down.
He has not through two games. It's only two games.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing, people. It's only two games.
That's what we've got to talk about. We're being told that Devontae and Juwan are available to play. So
there we go.
They're not starting. Well, we know Juwan's not probably starting.
Right.
But it's only two games.
That's right.
He has not yanked people out. Now, what he did do in the last game is he gave Justin Smith, because of the injury to Juwan, and Al Durham, because I guess Devontae was kind of banged up in that game. Well, I was in foul trouble. He gave them opportunities and stuck with them because they were performing. So that's partway down the line of, I'm not taking it anymore. You're going to sit and somebody else is going to play.
Right.
It's not quite there. It is, hey, when I did give you an opportunity, you're the young kid and you kicked some butt, so I left you in there and I'm going to continue to do that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of there, but it's not quite to sit your butt down. You're not doing a good enough job. I'm starting the young kids.
Yeah, not yet. And it may not come to that. We'll just see. I mean, today's athlete's a lot different than me and a lot different than when you and Glass played. It's just a whole different generation. They're patted on the head too many times and told how great they are. It's AAU ball, it's this and that. You know, their parents buy into it, hook, line, and sinker. And we'll see what some of these guys are made of.
And you could all get off at Terry's lawn.
Yeah, I'm trying to not go there. I'm trying not to go the lawn deal, but
Here's another question for you. It's early. I want to stress that across the board. It's early. You're going to be on the show a lot here in the fall, in the basketball season, so we're going to talk a lot about this. But right off the bat, I am hearing that the freshmen don't have what I'll call
muscle memory?
Debt.
Debt, yeah.
I work in tech, and technical debt is something when you get into a computer system, it's crap that you didn't do that somebody else did that you don't know how to undo. Similar kind of thing here. There's some debt there, some technical debt arguing right now that the veterans have that has to be undone in college terms that the freshmen don't. Do you buy that? I mean, do Robert Johnson and Josh Newkirk really have to get rid of the old stuff before you can put the new stuff on top of it? And Al Durham and Justin Smith are at a better spot because they don't have all that to undo first?
Well, first of all, I mean, we have a couple of guys that's only played for one coach here. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Josh Newkirk played at Pitt for a couple years before he came here. He's just, you know, then he spent 2 years with Tom Crean. Now he's on his third coach in the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no doubt that he could be all messed up in the head because it's probably three different schemes, three different types of defense, three different types of what I need you to do for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I know that's some of it. We'll just see a person like Robert Johnson, who was supposedly one of the people last year, along with James Blackman, that they wanted to do it their way and nobody else's way.
Yeah.
I won't go any further. We'll just see how we'll just see how he comes about playing for a new coach and a more fiery coach. A more coach that's not worried about, and I love Tom Crean, but he was too worried about being politically correct and saying all the right things to people around here, when people around here just want the truth. And that's, Archie's going to give the players the truth.
I want to ask you about that, because Archie, through two games and the offseason, very measured in everything he says. Now, myself, and I think a lot of people, because this is what it sounded like from the get-go, expected the fiery ex-point guard, the leader, the guy that was going to get in your face maybe a little bit. Not hothead. Okay, nobody thought that. But I'm going to ask you this. I'm of the belief that Indiana fans, and it's obvious why I think this, it's the big guy in the red sweater.
Right.
I think they want a guy who's going to be a hothead half the time, who isn't afraid of screaming at people, and especially referees, and yanking kids and sticking them on the bench if they're not performing exactly the way he wants. Do you get the sense that they want Archie or anybody to be, not over the top, but a hothead, be demonstrative out there, to be on fire, like his hair is on fire half the time? Do you get the sense that that is something Hoosier fans want to see? They want to be on the refs constantly to win those calls.
I don't think... I'm as old school a fan as there is, well, a lot by in this room. I don't feel that, but I don't mind a little more discipline. I don't mind looking at a guy and going, this is not the way we guard. You've been doing this all game. Sit down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind that. What do some of these people around here think? Sometimes I don't know. But I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I don't think people are expecting him to be a Bob Knight clone. But I think, two games, he's had a summer mm-hmm. to work with the kids. The longer they're in and the less they perform in the way the system he wants, the more upset he's going to get mm-hmm. and the shorter leash some of these guys will get. That's my comment.
And he said, you got to be tough to go into Seton Hall and win. And
oh, buddy.
3 days ago,
we haven't even talked about Seton Hall yet.
So you got to be tough, and you got a soft team. We'll see how this goes. It's going to tip off here shortly, and we'll lead you through a little bit of the beginning of the game. We'll also talk a little IU football when we get back from the break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Some programming notes for you. Tomorrow night, we've got NFL football returning to the airwaves. Tennessee is at Pittsburgh tomorrow, NFL football. 8 p.m. is the pregame for that. Saturday, we've got college football. Michigan is at Wisconsin. Wisconsin trying desperately to get into the playoff. They got to keep winning. 11:30 a.m. is the pregame for that. Our Sunday night game is Philadelphia at Dallas. We'll have more earlier on in the day, but we're figuring that part out. And on Monday night, we'll be back for In the Zone. We'll have the elongated version, and then we'll take you into pregame for Atlanta at Seattle. And then right out there on Tuesday, a little unusual, but coming right around the bend here is high school basketball, Edgewood at South, next Tuesday night, 7:30 tip and 7 chalk talk for that. All right, the Hoosiers have tipped off in Seton Hall. Seton Hall is up 2-0. It's early. Can't make any predictions off the first couple possessions, although IU turned it over and Seton Hall scored. So one possession, one score on the defense, and one possession, one turnover on the offense. That's not the way you want to start the game.
No.
Let's talk about Deron Davis. You were not a big guy when you played basketball, or now. But you got to feed the big guy. And since they've been feeding the big guy, I would argue I'd like to see him have about 10 more shots a game still, but he's been pretty damn efficient. And the moves that he is showing in the offseason, you know this as well as anyone, the kind of work that takes in the offseason, not just everything we've heard about him getting in better shape, dropping 35 pounds or whatever that number is, but the moves that he's showing in the paint, I've been really impressed with the changes in his game.
Yeah, I mean, it's... It's hard to, of course, he got here so late last year, pretty much played out of shape the whole year, but showed some flashes of an old man's low post game, and he does. He's got it. Now at 25 pounds or so lighter, I mean, he just looks better, and at 6'10", 240, that's not a thing wrong with that. That can pretty well push around and play with anybody in the Big Ten. And the gentleman he's playing against tonight is the same size and a senior that's averaged a double-double for 2 years.
And just popped a nice little turnaround jumper over Angel.
See, there you go.
Delgado.
So, yeah, no, I agree with you. I like everything about his game. He's been, other than his free throw shooting the other night, he looks like he's got some good confidence. He does need to get the ball more. One thing I'd like to see him do, when he especially in a couple of the preseason games, take the 6'7" guy that's trying to guard you, that's 2 1/4, put him through the basket.
Yeah.
As you dunk one on the top of him. I'd like to see him get a little bit more physical. But then again, last year, when you say that, he was in foul trouble so many times.
Yeah.
When he was heavier, when he didn't move as well. Dave, this guy's going to be a key to us being able to perform against teams in the Big Ten, because we're just not a big team right now. And with Juwan hurt, Colin Hartman, he's not going to play for another week or so. We need everything we can get out of anybody that's big. And he's the biggest guy on the team.
Well, you mentioned he's going to be a key. He'll obviously be a key all year long. But
right.
What you see early in the season is he's probably going to have to be even more key right now, because he's never going to be a finished product while he's at Indiana, because he's going to continue to improve ideally here. But the improvement you see already, he's the one guy on this team right this minute that looks like he might be able to be counted on all the time. Now, he's got to stay out of foul trouble here defensively also. This will be an interesting matchup for him, but it looks to me like he's got to be right off the bat. He's got to be counted on every night right now until we get the rest of the stuff figured out, because every other position is still a little bit in question.
No, that's for sure. And also, he needs to keep getting in better shape. Archie's mentioned that, like the other night. I mean, he six, 7 minutes at a time, and he's taking him out. And then getting him back in, he needs to be able to play longer stints. And I think a lot of times it's just guys not knowing what they can get out of their body, especially a kid that's 19 years old. And you play in the league that we play in, and you're playing against some guys that are really, really good. There's times an old swim coach used to say, you just got to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
No, well, there you go.
And that's playing hard, and that's going down there when you're dead dog tired and giving your team one more rebound or one more jump shot or one get a foul and go to the free throw line. And I hope he can be that player.
3 minutes in, Delgado hit a layup over him and drew the first foul on Deron Davis. So there you go there. It looks like Devontae Green has entered, as has Freddie McSwain. And we've taken out Josh Newkirk and Justin Smith and Deron Davis. Oh, and Juwan Morgan is in. So Morgan and Green will play tonight, now that they've come into the game. But there's that early foul on Deron Davis. So, I mean, right off the bat, and you got to put Freddie in right off the bat because you don't want him to get number two right away.
And Freddie just bobbles a nice pass from Robert Johnson out of bounds when he could have had a dunk. And you know what? Freddie has been playing great.
Yes, he has.
In all the games, he's doing exactly what we need him to do. But he's got to be ready right there. He just came in, and what could have been a dunk and made the score 7-4, he blew it. And you know, he's a guy that is an athlete. He's not that great a basketball player, just an excellent athlete. But we need him. Oh, my gosh, we need him this year.
Now, with Juwan hurt before this, Glass and I were talking on Monday, how do you – short-term thing, just kind of fun to talk about. How do you deal with the injury situation? Who do you start? Who do you play those minutes? We didn't know how long Juwan Morgan might be out. Turns out he's not at all. He didn't start tonight, but he's right in the game, the first 4 minutes of the game. But what is the mentality of somebody when they're – starting, not starting, have accepted a role? The last couple years under Tom Crean, we heard a lot, he subs like crazy and nobody knows what their role is. How important is that? Because it seemed like it was only a couple games, but Freddie had settled into, you know, that 15 minutes of energy and was averaging something like 8 rebounds a performance those first 2 games because of it. And so we were talking about, you know, does Justin Smith come in and try to play more minutes, and Freddie is in his role and he sticks with it and he's good to go, and you want to keep it there because he knows his role. How important is knowing your role? Does that mean much?
Well, when you know consistently, here's how much I'm going to play, here's what I'm doing, here's the type of people I'm going to be guarding. Yeah, it does help. Anytime you're familiar with your surroundings and you know how you're supposed to play, it makes it so much easier. I mean, you're talking to him in Smith. You're talking about a kid just out of high school. And I tell you what, he is – I liked him in both the preseason games. I think he's going to be an excellent player here. He's going to fill out a little bit, get some strength. I think he's going to be fine. And the same thing right now with Freddie. I mean, just get him in there. Right now, it's letting Deron Davis relax a minute, get his breath, and hopefully not pick up that second foul when he comes back in. And right now, Freddie has to give us, not only has he got to get on the boards, he's got to catch a little pass, he's got to be able to make that play that could have gave us a couple more points and maybe even an and one. You never know.
He's been in for a minute. He's got a rebound, and he's got a turnover already. We've got 3 turnovers through the first 4.5 minutes at 7-2 Seton Hall. The only bucket has been that Deron Davis turnaround jumper. Again, I really like the moves that I've seen out of Deron so far.
Yeah.
You've got a basketball team here that has got to become a different team over the course of the season, and it becomes a very difficult schedule pretty quick. Now, next week, you know, isn't too bad, but you're a week, you what, 2 weeks away from Duke? Did I have that right? Exactly right. The 29th, 2 weeks from tonight. Duke comes to town. Duke beat Michigan State, scored 88 points on Michigan State. This is a team picked to win the Big Ten, not a Michigan State team that maybe doesn't have expectations. This one does. Duke went up to Chicago and beat them pretty good. So this team has got to get good in a hurry if it wants to compete against some of these teams, because they turn around right after that and go on to the 2 Big Ten games.
Yeah, you go to Michigan, come home to Iowa, then go to Louisville, yeah, and then play Notre Dame.
Yeah.
At Bankers Life. Yeah. So that's a 5-game brutal stretch.
2.5 weeks.
We're I mean, that's all you can say is we have to. If not, we'll lose every one of those games.
Oh,
if we don't,
yeah, no question.
If we're not having a different mindset, even though a Michigan team that's, you know, lost some people, they're not going to be great. But right now, if I look at us and look at Michigan, I'll take Michigan.
Yeah.
Especially at Michigan. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. This is a group tonight we're playing against that you can look at and Archie can point to and go, this is how we need to play. But this is a team with their three leading scorers are all seniors. Delgado and Kadeem Carrington both tested the NBA waters and decided to come back. You know, these guys are slashers. They're experienced. They're long. They're lean. And they're nasty. They're a typical Big East team. Preseason, they're picked just behind Villanova and Xavier. I mean, these guys are good.
Their guard, Desi Rodriguez, has six
tough.
Points already.
He averaged 15
shooting.
Last year.
One of those is a three. He's got a free throw. He's got a rebound. At what point, or do we look at the two starting senior guards and say, get it together, become the leaders for this team that everybody hopes for? Or are we going to just have to expect that these guys are going to be not bit players, because that's not right, but they're along for the ride? Because that's kind of what it feels like. I mean, they are senior guards. Everybody has the expectations that senior guards are going to be the guys that lead you. They lead you through these tough games. You know, the guys, I mean, the other guards got 6 points already right off the bat, 6 of the 8 points. You know, it does not look right this minute after two games on the start of this one like our starting senior guards are leading this team or ready to lead this team somewhere.
And again, this is game three.
I know.
And we...
I'm not jumping. I'm just...
Oh, no, I know. I
step over to the edge and take a look down.
Well, they need to start playing a little bit better. Wow, there we go. And the ball knocked out of bounds. Juwan Morgan should have had a layup. Just going strong like that. It, being tough is going strong to the hoop, you know, not letting somebody knock the ball away from you. And we've got a little ways to go. Used to be in the old days, motivation came in different ways, but getting your butts kicked and then being told to sit down for a while usually got you in a different frame of mind. Hopefully it will us.
Freddie McSwain with his second turnover. And also just got posterized, so we've got that going for us, which is nice. Hoosiers down 10-2, 14.5 minutes left to go in the first half. We got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. We'll talk some more IU basketball and look forward to football hosting Rutgers on Saturday in just a few minutes. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone of Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Again, programming notes for you. NFL football tomorrow night. Tennessee is at Pittsburgh. 8 o'clock is pregame for that. Saturday, 11:30 is pregame for college football. Michigan is at Wisconsin. And we'll be back Monday, Glass and I, Monday for In the Zone and In the Red Zone, taking you to Monday Night Football, Atlanta at Seattle. And looking even further forward, Tuesday starts our high school basketball season. Edgewood is at South, 7:30 tip-off, and 7 o'clock Chalk Talk for the start of our basketball, high school basketball season, rather. Looking at Seton Hall versus Indiana on the road out in New Jersey, and the Hoosiers have closed the gap. It is 12-9 now, Seton Hall with the lead, but the Hoosiers already a bit manic on their substitutions, trying to find what works and settled into something here that got them back in the game at least. It was 10-2. Devontae Green has 3 points. Justin Smith has 4. There's your freshman, Justin Smith. Talk a little bit about Devontae Green, though, because we heard a lot about Devontae Green, toughness, New York kid, you know, he got a lot of grit, all this kind of stuff. And he came out and lit it up the first time out on the floor. And since then, and I know he got banged up last game, but we haven't seen a lot of him, and he's making some of the same mistakes some of the other guys are doing. So what's a realistic expectation out of Devontae Green?
I think he'll get better. I mean, again, you got to look at it. He's a sophomore. Did play a whole different style last year. Had some really good games last year at one point. Kind of looked like he was starting to turn the corner a little bit. Another bucket there.
Justin 12, Smith again, yeah.
11. I love Justin Smith.
He's got anyway. 6 of our 11 points.
Devontae's going to be fine. I think part of it's just gaining some confidence. Sometimes it's no more than hitting a shot, making a good block out, getting a steal. I mean, I think he'll be fine. Again, he's just learning how to play, and he's going to be counted on for big minutes, you know, this year. So last year he wasn't. So everything he does is going to be a little bit more magnified because we're going to see him more and more. My first thought is you better strap some of that New York toughness on.
Yeah. We need it.
Because we need it, and I think he's a good enough player that he will help us. But I don't look at him being the go-to guy. I mean, he's going to have some good games, and then he's going to have some rough ones. I think that's just being young and growing up. We'll see. But I do like him. I think he's going to be a good player for us.
I know you didn't play a lick of defense when you played.
Oh, now wait a minute.
You were all shooting all the time.
Untrue.
Pick and roll. High pick and roll it's everywhere. I mean, it's played constantly. And anybody who's watched the last couple of years of Hoosier basketball, even with this team now, you're seeing it all the time. You know, I don't know. I haven't counted it, but I don't know why we don't even play it more than we do. But everybody plays it against us. What's the right way, or do you have to have a multitude of ways to play this? Do you go under? Do you go over and fight through it? Do you switch? I mean, do you just have to see how it's going? Because it's deadly when it works well, and it seems to work really well against us.
It all depends on who's the guy that's picking, who's guarding him.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a guy quick enough to jump and hedge and give his teammate being screened a chance to get through it? Do you set backwards and let the guy go under it all the time? Obviously, we better not be doing that because people are hitting threes against us.
Yeah.
We need to fight over the picks. I always thought the ideal way was for the guy guarding the screener to, as soon as the pick start, immediately jump and make the guy slow down.
Stop him, yeah.
And then retreat back, and by that time your guy has a chance to get around. If you slow the dribbler down, you have a chance to get back to catch him, at least to where he's not pulling up and hitting a long shot. It's tough because a lot of times those screens are being set by the other big man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw how much Thomas Bryant struggled.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
In his freshman year. He was a lot better at it last year.
Yeah.
But still, sometimes he went too far out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing is, if you drive the guy off the screen and make him go away from the basket instead of going straight across for a jump shot or a drive, if you veer him away, at some point you got to get your ass backwards and get back to your man and not allow a cut to the basket by him and maybe even an easier shot.
Teams have killed us
when
we have run that high pick and roll by jumping all over it. I mean, Wisconsin does this all the time, just jumps all over the dribbler and forces him away from the basket. And you know, how we don't make anybody pay when that situation happens, I still haven't figured out.
The only way, you have to have a guard. So if that happens, the only thing you can do is reverse your field and go the other way, mm-hmm. because the screener's not going to be ready for you to do that. But that's easier said than done.
Yeah.
It really is. It just, plus your own man, you know, the guy that's guarding you is going to be, he's going to be ready. So it is a hard play. That's why they run in the NBA. That's why most of the college teams, that's all they're running. We won't be seeing that next Tuesday night when Edgewood plays South. We won't be seeing that then.
There is the rest of this game.
Yeah.
The Hoosiers are down 15-11. The rest of this game, and then there are three home games, South Florida, Arkansas State, and Eastern Michigan, before the home game against Duke, which is in exactly 2 weeks from tonight. Is that enough time and enough on-game or on-court work to do two things, one specific and one general? The specific is this quote-unquote get-into-game-shape thing, which, you know, there's four fantastic teams on a basketball court on Monday night or whatever it was, and they seem to be in plenty of basketball shape. So how we're not, somebody's got to explain that to me. But is that enough time, enough game time to get in game shape? And two, is it enough time for the what you've seen to become competitive against Duke?
I'll answer that by saying a lot of that depends on how we fare tonight and how long we stay in the game. Can we make it, you know, do we get blown out and completely shatter our confidence, or do we hang with these guys and then show some good points, some good film, and then we got three teams we should beat to come up after that. So to answer your question, yes, it is, but it's got to be our mind. You know, these guys have got to not lose their total confidence tonight by getting killed by Seton Hall. And right now, we're performing admirably. After being down 10-2,
yep.
You know, we've outscored them 9-3 or 9-5 since then, and we're only down 4. So yep. I mean, it's you know, there's a shot here.
Yeah, sticking with it on the rebounding side, 8-8, turned the ball over 5 times, but so has Seton Hall.
So that means our defensive is active.
Yeah,
so that's good.
They've settled down a bit there. Not shooting it great, but both teams 6-12, 6-14. That's
there's
Seton Hall
a three
and IU in particular. So, and that's IU hitting that three. So it's a 1-point game. So I mean, they're at least they are fighting.
Oh yeah,
it's early, but they are fighting at the moment.
I like this so far. You know, if they weren't going to be tough tonight, they would be down 18-4 right now.
Before we get out of here, Hoosiers okay. This weekend, the last home game, it's senior day, it's Rutgers. It is a must win. Rutgers never gets any credit in this conference. Not sure they deserve it based on everybody else in this conference, to be fair. But this team, to me, every time I watch them, they are more physical than people give them credit for. They weren't playing very good earlier in this year, but they're playing better now. They look like they have settled into something. It's going to be a test for the Hoosiers. Every week is a test for the Hoosiers. Top thing that you're looking for out of this, because I'm looking for physicality, and I'm afraid that still resides on the Rutgers side. IU's got plenty to win the game. I mean, they can do that. That's not the issue. But Rutgers might have the advantage on both offense and defensive lines.
Yeah, this is a much improved Rutgers team from somebody that, you know, actually, of course, we blew a 25-point lead a couple of years ago against them, and should have won that game. Rutgers has won 2 out of 3 against us since they came into the league. So it would be look, just something about Tom Allen and the way he handles these kids. And we had 3 disappointing games lost that we should have won all 3 of them: Michigan, Michigan State, and Maryland. And we didn't do it. So, I think we're going to win.
Yeah.
I do believe we're going to beat Rutgers. And I'll just, you know, I won't say it now because I think I'll be on a show with you next Wednesday.
Yes.
So, I'll just say, yeah, they're going to get it done. I think it's going to be a close game. I mean, it may end up being something like, you know, 28-27, 28-24. We don't know yet if which quarterback, I'm assuming, is still Lego right now. I don't know if Ramsey is cleared to go or not. I look for our defense to step up and play well. I think Hoosiers win Saturday.
Nice. Frankly, I think Richard Lego's got to finish your season at this point.
I agree.
That's my opinion. I think it's moving better right now. But you know, again, this is a game they might lose at the line of scrimmage. So they've got to make the right plays and be smart and be safe about it. I do think the Hoosiers win. Sets up the bucket game for some bowls.
Oh, yes, man. Love it.
Yeah, I don't.
Better than not having a chance at all.
I agree with that. That is always the case. 20-16, Seton Hall leads. We're heading towards the under 8 timeout here in just a few. We have to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday, so tune in then. You've been in the zone.